Good afternoon. Glad to be here with y'all. My name is Luke Griffin, and I'm talking about using AI in ministry. And this is a dangerous class to teach, in my opinion. And part of the reason it's a dangerous class to teach is that it's recorded right there, which means in a year or 2 years or 3 years, somebody's going to go back, look at this, and say, boy, was he wrong about everything, and which is probably true. So I'll tell you quickly what this class is not, so you can quickly get up and leave if it wasn't what you wanted. It's not a review of AI technology. I'm not looking at a whole bunch of different AI apps and reviewing them. I'm not going to debate whether or not we should be using AI or not. If you're in the class, then you've decided that maybe it's going to help you in your ministry. And I hope to open up some ideas to you that you may not be aware of. It's not a chance to talk about scary things with AI and how it's going to take all of our jobs and or turn Terminator 2 on us and wipe out humanity. I'm not going to talk about that. And I'm not interested in people who are on social media arguing with AI bots about whether God exists or whether the Bible's the word. I'm not interested in any of that. That doesn't help us in our ministry. And AI is not any smarter than we are in that regard. We can use our own brains and figure out that God exists, that the Bible's the word of God, and those sorts of things. It's not a chance to show how smart I am because and how I know everything about AI. I don't. I volunteered to take this class because I wanted to learn more and see how it could help me, because like you, I'm really busy and I want to accomplish more things. I want to do more in my work for the Lord, just like I assume all of you do. And therefore, I wanted to see if I could study AI. You know, it's true, whenever I study for a class, whenever I study to teach a class, I'm going to learn more than you are, because all the stuff that I learned that I had to weed out of this class. Plus, if it was a class about how smart I am, it really wouldn't take very long to teach the class. So what is it? It's a chance to show you some of the capabilities of AI, artificial intelligence, that a few of the current tools offer in improving our work and our productivity, and a chance for us to explore some of the ways that we can use AI to better and more efficiently reach the world with the gospel. And I do think it offers some great opportunities. Now, I'm a big believer, and if you know any of my history or any of my other classes that I'm scheduled to teach this time, they're all on things like, you know, Caligula or Augustus or Domitian, all the Roman emperors. That's kind of my thing. So as you may be aware, I'm a big believer in the idea that history repeats itself, and we have a lot to learn from history. And I'm going to look at a couple of instances really quickly, just as a way of introduction for us to think about AI technology and innovation in general and how people apply it in the past, so we can kind of get some ideas about how it might be applied now. Now, Gutenberg invented the press about 1440, and people did not understand this new technology or how it was going to affect them, their work, jobs. They didn't understand how the printing press changed everything, changed the world. This is true just in general in the world, but certainly in the religious world. And it's evidenced by the first 50 years of printing. If you've ever studied the history of printing, those are called those first 50 years. Anything printed in that first 50 years after Gutenberg invented the press, those are called incubalia. And if you have any of them, they're really interesting to look at, because they had not figured out how is this new technology going to impact our work. And they were trying to do things like they had done it when it was handwritten. They still had handwritten illustrations. The Gutenberg press could not print multiple colors yet. They were just doing one color. So anytime you see a Gutenberg Bible, anything that is red or blue or any of the illustrations, that's all hand done. And they expected all of that in their books. And that's what they continued to do, particularly in the first 50 years. So they didn't understand it. And as they print the Gutenberg Bible, It's one of the most famous books of all time, and certainly one of the most beautiful and most valuable. You can see that it's immediately able to be used for good. We're going to be able to distribute Bibles much, much faster. And this is evidenced best by Wycliffe and Tyndale. I'm not going to go into a huge history lesson here, but Wycliffe, he was translating the Bible into English in the 1300s before the printing press, which means everything that he did had to be handwritten, hand copied, took hundreds of hours. And if somebody is fighting you on that, if somebody is wanting to destroy your work, they can destroy hundreds of hours of work just by burning your book, by burning your Bible. And so, I mean, it was revolutionary that he was doing this, translating into English and trying to make it available, but he could never get the kind of traction that Tyndale could get. And this is evidenced by Tyndale, who, when he starts printing the Bible in English after the press has been invented, he had made several mistakes in the first printing, and he couldn't afford to do a second printing. But fortunately for him, the Bishop of London was buying up all the copies of his Bible in order to burn them, which funded his second edition of the Tyndale Bible. Now, unfortunately for him, they finally did catch up with him and executed him for his work. But he was able to impact the world much more than Wycliffe because of the invention of the press. At the same time, the same technology was actually used even before the Gutenberg Bible to print indulgences for the Catholic Church. And this is what funded some of their work, including the Crusades, including St. Peter's Basilica. That's how they paid for those projects, was selling forgiveness of sins in the form of indulgences. They have found these printed on the Gutenberg press. It's how Gutenberg got the money to print his Bible. So as we see, technology, when they have these major shifts in technology, it can be used for both good and evil. The other one is the internet. And I don't think I need to belabor this too much, but at the same time, the internet started with ARPANET 1969. That on the screen is the first transmission across ARPANET, where it crashed on the third letter of login. So low. But that was the beginning, and then Tim Berners-Lee and his crew eventually developed the public internet and what we use it for today. And if you remember, if you're old like me and you remember in the 90s when that started to come out, some of those wonderful web pages, some of which still exist, they are not exactly the best constructed. Some of your church pages might still look like this, I'm not sure. The Space Jam page, I think, is one of the oldest pages that hasn't changed since the beginning of the internet. But you can see they didn't really know what they were doing, and it's messy. And now it's usually much more refined and is better. But it's the same thing that happened with the Gutenberg press. So now we get to AI. Now there's no question that it's here, that it's fast moving, and it's a changing technology that's adapting very quickly. We're already probably using it every day. Sometimes you don't even know it. Sometimes just to make suggestions to you on Netflix or YouTube. But the implications of it, we don't really know what they all are. We don't really know how to use it or what the dangers of it are. We don't know how it's going to impact humanity in the long run, but we're going to find out. And there have been a couple of surveys done. I used to teach research methods, so I'm pretty critical of surveys. And I've read the surveys, and I haven't found, even ones done by our brotherhood, I haven't found any that were really great. There's one that was done that's okay. Kind of just tells us who's using it and how they're using it and how good they think they are at using it. It's not really talking about how to use it to improve our ministry. So even when it's looking at preachers using AI, none of those surveys have been particularly helpful to me. So what I did is I typed into ChatGPT, could you tell me some ways that AI could help the preacher in his work? And it gave me 10 right away. And I used some of those as a jumping off point So I used AI to help me write this lesson. AI cannot and should not write your sermons for you. Is it possible to type in there, write me a sermon on Barnabas? Yep, and it'll spit it out in like 10 seconds. You can say, then outline it for me and I'm gonna get up and preach it. You can do that if you are a lazy preacher, but that is not good for you or for the congregation. And in the long run, everybody will be hurt by that. So that is not a way for it to help you in your work. I don't know every single tool out there, but I'm going to look at some of these. And I want to say this too. When I asked ChatGPT to give me some ways that AI can help, I was surprised at some of the results. It gave me things that I hadn't thought of, and that then I went in and explored. And I think they can be very helpful for you personally and for your work. You're probably already using AI somewhat every day, either with Alexa or Google Assist or Siri or any of those AI assistants. The next iPhone is going to incorporate AI technology into it, embedded in the operating system. Many of the tools that we use, like Word, Excel, Photoshop, they're already using AI all the time. And so it's already kind of happening to where you can just instantly use it to almost where you don't even notice that you're using it. But what I want to talk about are some of the general tools that you can use. On the app, I've put a list of resources. So you can download that PDF. It's on my class on the app, on the PTP Branson app. And what most people think about when they think about AI, they're thinking about ChatGPT. Perhaps they're thinking about Grammarly or DALL-E, one of the picture AI bots. And we're going to spend some time with those. We're going to take a look at how each of those can help you in your work. And first, I want to talk about the most famous one, which is ChatGPT. I think probably some of you have already played with it. How many of you have used ChatGPT? See, I've just done a survey. That's great. So at least half. And it's kind of fun, isn't it? And it's pretty shocking when you type something in and it immediately gives you a list in 3 seconds, better than the list I could have made. It's a little scary, but it's also extremely helpful. I've taken to using it instead of Google to answer my questions. And I find that the results are typically much better than Google in the things that I'm asking about. So let's take a look at ChatGPT. I know it's hard to see all that on the screen, but I just wanted to show you some screenshots. And I will also put my PowerPoint on the app. It's not on there yet, I don't think, but it will be on there so you can download it and you can take a look at these. But this is what my ChatGPT screen looks like when I load in. I have a subscription, so I'm using the latest version. And it kind of suggests things for you to do based on what it knows about you or previous results. So mine were fun fact about the Roman Empire. I'm okay with that. That's a good one. I've obviously asked a bunch of questions about different emperors to quickly get answers. And then create a workout plan. I'm less thrilled with that one. And then study vocabulary. I'm even less thrilled with that one. So I kind of feel insulted by study vocabulary suggestion. But anyway, it's got some suggestions for me. So I just put in, what are some tips for writing good prompts in ChatGPT-4? And it instantly returned a whole bunch of results. And I've got them on the screen. Again, you may not be able to read that tiny print, but it's be specific and clear, provide context, ask one question at a time, use examples. It's got bullet points under each of those. That's just from that very simple prompt. And then it continues, define the desired format, set the tone or style, be open to iteration, that is, change your questions to suit the needs. Use structured prompts for complex tasks, avoid ambiguity, and incorporate constraints. All right, so we're not gonna go through all of that real quick, but what I did with that is I said, okay, fine. Give me some tips for writing good prompts in ChatGPT for a preacher who is preparing a sermon. And what it did was, okay, be specific and clear, and then here's some examples. Instead of help me with my sermon, try can you provide an inspiring opening anecdote for a sermon on faith? So you see how it gets more and more specific. And it does that with each of those that I listed. It gives me examples that a preacher could do. This is basically your help manual. So if you're having trouble in ChatGPT getting it to do what you want to do, ask it how to do better. Ask it, what do I need to ask you to give me the answer that I want, basically. And this would be really helpful for me in Excel, because I'm not great at Excel. If I could just say, what's the formula to make this do what I want it to do? You can ask ChatGPT that, and it will also give you formulas. It'll also give you Python code if you want to do that kind of thing. But what I did was, I'm not very good at writing titles. My titles tend to be really long and analytic and logical. It's part of my makeup, I guess. My titles are never fun or funny. It's just, they're kind of boring. They all sound like when you get your PhD and they read those lists. My titles sound like that. So I said, can you suggest a title or titles for a sermon that I have written if I paste it here? And it said, absolutely, go ahead and paste it. So I did. I typed, I put in my sermon on Barnabas. I just pasted it into the chat prompt and it spit out 10 titles for me. And I picked one of those titles for my sermon on Barnabas. Well, that was great, very helpful. I'm going to pick one of those titles, thank you. And I said, can you outline my sermon on Barnabas? And it said, certainly, here's an outline of the sermon that you just put in. Took it about 3 seconds to do that. I wanted to demo it, I wanted to just do it live here, but I thought that probably my internet connection wouldn't work, and then that would be pretty disappointing. So I just did screenshots. But it's impressive when it's working and it's just like writing this for you instantly. I said, can you summarize my sermon in about 300 words as a short article for a church bulletin? So it did that almost instantly. So you can kind of see how this could help you get some of your work done quickly. Now, I also tried to get it to do things like, okay, I know there's preachers, probably preachers in here, who in the bulletin put an outline of their sermon and do fill in the blanks for the congregation to follow along. I tried to get it to do that. I tried to train it to do that, and it never really did a really great job. So there are limitations to it, but there are also ways for it to really help you in a lot of ways. If you're crafting your sermon, let's say, okay, I've written this sermon, and I'm sure this is a problem for many of you. You write your sermon, and it's just not long enough, right? So you need some more examples. So I said, can you list 10 other people in the Bible that exhibit the qualities of an encourager? I could have probably said Barnabas, but I just said of an encourager. And it instantly listed Jonathan, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, Samuel, Elijah, Hezekiah, Daniel, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Paul, with scripture references. Sometimes it won't give those to you automatically, but you can type it back in and say, can you list scripture references with all those? And it instantly will. And that can help you in your study and get to things quickly and think of things that you might not have thought of before. So I think you can kind of see how this can really help you in a lot of cases. All right. You can also get it to give you like a script for, I say, turn my sermon into a 60-second script to tell people about my sermon that I'm going to preach on Sunday. It could write it, then you could shoot the video for that script and kind of invite people to come to worship service on Sunday. I'm going to be preaching on this, and here's what a quick summary of what we're going to learn. All right. I hope, you know, some of that has kind of sparked ideas in your head about ways that it can help you as you're doing sermon prep. But this isn't just for sermon prep, but I think it certainly can do some pretty neat things. Now, those are all pretty basic. There are things that are considerably more interesting and way more important, I think, in terms of reaching the world. I'm sure some of you have seen some of these deepfakes out there of, you know, famous people, whatever, Trump, Biden, and they make them say goofy things. as if they don't say enough goofy things on their own. But and there are AI generators out there that can learn your writing style and help you write or get writing prompts to write articles. But the really fascinating stuff to me is it can learn your voice. In just a few seconds of audio, it can learn how to mimic your voice. Now, I'm not talking about ChatGPT, but other things out there, other tools that are out there, some of them even free. And based on input from you, let's say you have a transcript of a sermon, instead of preaching that sermon, you could teach it your voice, you can put the transcript in, and it will speak in your voice your sermon. Now, that's neat and all. And then let's say maybe you wanted to reach more than people in English, but you're like me, and the only other language you have is ancient Greek, and there just aren't a lot of ancient Greeks around anymore. I wish I spoke Chinese and Italian. You know, I just got back from Rome. I'm bragging there. Got back from Rome. And I don't speak Italian, but I had Google Translate on my phone. And so when I went to the bakery and he didn't speak Italian and I went to the pharmacy to get some medicine and they didn't speak English. I just pulled up Google Translate and I'm speaking in English and it's instantly translating it into Italian. That's pretty neat. And then he's speaking and it's instantly translating it back to me in English. Well, what's really exciting is that after it's learned your voice, it can live, almost instantly, translate your sermon. First, it makes a transcription. It can translate your sermon. And in your voice, it can speak it in Chinese, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese. That gives us huge opportunities to reach the world with the gospel in ways that we cannot currently or have not been able to do without huge amounts of effort. Now, sure. Is it perfect? No. Is that dangerous in some ways? Yes. And I think you can instantly think of some where, okay, let's say I just say the word, you must be baptized in order to be saved. Okay, what if in Portuguese it translates that baptized as sprinkled? You must be sprinkled to be saved. Are you going to know that if you don't speak Portuguese? No. So you have to be careful with it. It needs humans. And this is true of everything that I've already said. All of the summaries. You're not going to just say, hey, write me a summary for my bulletin. Oh, copy, paste, I'm done with the bulletin. Let's not do that because it might have messed something up doctrinally. And so we need to be careful. Things need to be proofed. And every single one of these tools is a rabbit hole that you can fall down into and just get fascinated with and start playing with. It's amazing. And to keep up with it would be a full-time job. So you can end up wasting more time on playing with AI than anything it's going to do for you. I think go to it with something in mind that you want to accomplish and look at some of the tools that are available like Google Translate, like DeepL Translator, like Microsoft Translator. These are all tools, and there are others that can help you. And you can stack different AI tools to make them do what it is you want them to do. But I'm excited about the language capabilities of it and the future of this, and I think you should be too. Obviously, I've just scratched the surface of all of that. About two-thirds of my time is up, so I'm going to go on to some other applications. But there are so many exciting things, and I just invite you to explore. Many of them are free and don't require a subscription. There are several videos online, too, that you can watch to kind of give you some ideas about what's out there. All right, check everything for doctrinal errors and mistakes. If I had one tool that I could recommend to every preacher, Bible class teacher out there, it would be Grammarly. And the reason is, and I don't mean to insult you if you were an English teacher, for 99% of you, and you can be the exception, whoever you are, You're terrible writers. You're just terrible. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's true. And I'm a terrible writer too. And I'm not just talking about grammar, I'm talking about structure and context. And this comes from, I've worked for House to House for 21 years, and preachers send in their articles for their back pages, and they're just terrible. I mean, I'm sorry, but they are. They're good doctrinally, usually, but the writing is just awful. We send it through editors and fix them. I'm telling you that Grammarly fixed it for me. It helped me as a writer get better. This is my lesson, by the way. So don't think that I'm excused from being a terrible writer. It had, I wrote it down, 122 suggestions for my short little lesson here on fixing it for this class. There are other tools, but Grammarly has a lot of free tools, and it's really neat. As you roll over something that it's suggesting, it'll tell you right here how it would change it, and you can dismiss it. But that's just the simple application. If you subscribe to it, it'll fix your emails. It'll suggest things to you to improve. It'll tell you how to quit using the passive voice. It'll tell you what the passive voice is, if you don't know what that is. It's fantastic in that it can even take it. I don't remember if I put a slide. No. But it can say, I want to be more aggressive. Maybe you're writing about your power bill or something. And I don't want to be kind here. I want to be aggressive, or I want to be kinder, or I want to be approachable. Whatever it is, it can change the language for the overall tone for you using this AI technology. Grammarly is really fantastic, and I'm really not trying to insult you as a writer. I'm just telling you that really we're not that great of writers overall, usually. It also has a plagiarism checker. And this is free online, and it's on my list of resources. You can paste your sermon in there. Maybe you wrote it. Maybe you remember. I looked at some commentaries for this, but I don't remember. I didn't cite them at the time. And I don't want to just plagiarize it and claim this is my work when I write it for something. It'll tell you, hey, these things are quotes from places. And you can say, hey, what are the citations for that? And it'll give you the citation correctly, so you can make footnotes, endnotes, all those sorts of things. It's fantastic. Grammarly, even the free stuff from Grammarly is fantastic. I subscribe to it, and it checks all of my emails, all of my writing, because I frankly am terrible, even though my mom was an English teacher, and she would be very ashamed for me to say that. All right. So Grammarly is something I highly recommend to everybody, and the plagiarism checker, so that we don't steal people's work. Obviously, we want to cite things. I did put it on there. I can say, make it more persuasive, make it more assertive, or give me some more ideas, or type some other things that I want to improve this paragraph that I wrote. It will suggest that to you, and you can insert it, or you can make it retry. You weren't happy with it the first time. All right, switching over to AI and art. This is very controversial. Just if you don't believe me, you can talk to my daughter, who's an artist. She hates AI. She thinks it's going to replace her and not let her be the artist that she wants to be. I'm not sure about that, but I will tell you that it is pretty shocking as you start playing with these tools. If you wanted to create PowerPoints or illustrations, anything along those lines, it's pretty impressive. I created this image in about 30 seconds. I'm going to show you how I did it. I use Midjourney. A lot of people use DALL-E, but I subscribe to Midjourney, and I use it for lots of things. I'm going to quickly show you a few ways that I used it to create things for the PowerPoint. I got to find my, there we go. And I wanted to have this picture. I wanted to have a picture, an artistic picture of a robot painting a picture. I went to the stock art, some of the best stock art sites out there, Getty Images, which is a very expensive stock art site. I found absolutely nothing that looked like what I wanted to use. So I went to Midjourney, and I said, imagine a robot painting a picture in the style of clip art. And within 30 seconds, I had four options. I liked the second one, so I said, give me some versions of that. I clicked that little V2, which gave me versions of number two, and I instantly had those in about 20 seconds. I liked this one, so I made it go high res, and then I put it into my PowerPoint, copied and pasted it, and I was done. And I had pretty much the exact image I wanted. And then for fun, I said, what if it was in the style of Starry Night? And it did that. So you can have styles. It recognizes hundreds of styles. Again, this is very controversial. But for us, using it for PowerPoint, I don't think you're going to pay somebody to do it. You might pay a stock art site, but I don't think you're going to hire artists to make your PowerPoints. So I don't think, I think it's an appropriate use of the technology. I played with it a little bit for my other lessons here. We're doing a poster series at House to House, and this, I had this idea. So I typed in some ideas here, and it generates this so I could show it to my designer that these are some of the things I want to go off of. So you're seeing a preview of a poster series we'll come out with next year. But this is the idea from it there. For my Roman Emperor's classes, I wanted some specific types of images. I asked it about making some of those. These are the ones that it suggested. I think probably some of you have seen sort of some of the silly results that can come from this. And just to put it at your fingertips, I have 6 points on that. It doesn't always get the number of fingers correct. So if you're doing things, and it looks a little weird, but unless you're doing a thing on the Princess Bride, which that's, you have to know about the six-fingered man. Probably not all of you are in the Princess Bride. It's not good, right? What's Goliath? Okay, and then it's got all kinds of different numbers of weird kind of shaped fingers. It does okay now. It's doing a little bit better than it used to, but they still look a little strange, in my opinion. So I asked it to do a map of the Roman Empire with a lot of shadows in it, because I'm talking about the shadowed successor in one of my classes. It did this image. I wanted to show it to you so for a couple of things. One, it looks neat. Those are really neat to generate in 30 seconds. But if you'll notice in the text, wherever it has text, that's nonsense text. It does not do well with design, with like trying to say, okay, put the Church of Christ and design my flyer. It's not going to do that. It's really for generating, this is for generating art. Some of them are getting better at that, and certainly like Canva and some of the other tools that are out there for design incorporate some AI. But in general, these are good for producing graphics for your PowerPoints, but they're not going to be like historically accurate images. It did pretty well making the boot of Italy, but none of those letters are accurate. One thing that AI suggested to me when I said, how are some ways that AI can help preachers in their work? The third one I think listed was mental health. And I thought that's interesting. And so I researched it. And there's two aspects of this. One, if you're a preacher, or an elder or a deacon or a Bible class teacher, I think a lot of times you're going to be a shoulder to cry on. You're going to have people come to you who want counseling. And I am a terrible counselor. Anybody who knows me will know that that's the case. I'm just not really good at it. I have no training in it. I mean, I care about people and I would love to help, but I'm just terrible at it. I'm not the person you want to come to and tell me all your problems. I'll do the man thing and I'll try to solve them for you, but that's not really what people typically want. Mental health, that's one aspect of it. So people are going to come to you and ask for your help. AI can help you with that if you're like me and you're not very good at it. The other aspect of it is that, and I think some of you are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. It'll help support the mental health of the preacher, the preacher's wife, the preacher's children, and sometimes, and I unfortunately know of several rather extreme cases that ended very badly, of preachers or their wives or their children who struggle with mental health issues, and they're afraid to reach out for help because They're afraid their elders or other members are going to judge them. They sometimes have unrealistic expectations of the preacher or the preacher's wife or the preacher's children. And that puts a lot of stress and pressure on them to act like everything is normal, everything's okay. Some of these AI tools offer opportunities for you to reach out in ways that are risk-free, but could provide outlets to you so that something bad doesn't happen because of your mental health or the mental health of some of your family members. So some of these things on here, I wanted to talk about this because I just don't think it's something that you think about with AI, but it's very helpful. Some of these resources, looking at them, I glanced through, you know, some of these. I tried to use a few of the free versions of them. I found it very interesting. It's suggesting resources, videos, diagnosing what might be going on with somebody who I'm trying to help. Kind of you get to talk about it. It asks you questions and takes you through some of those things. It's good for mood tracking, symptom analysis, suggestions for being, if you're under a lot of stress, suggestions for mindfulness, prayerfulness, reminding you, hey, now's a time when you're usually very stressed. You might want to stop and pray. You might want to take a few minutes and do a breathing exercise. There are tools available to help you with those things for burnout prevention, for crisis intervention. These take a little bit more setup, but if you know somebody is struggling with anxiety and depression, when we see this all over, is an epidemic of it in our world, there are tools you can set up where they can very quickly let the app know, hey, I'm struggling with this right now, and it will reach out to designated contacts or even mental health professionals or suggest counseling people for you. So all of those things are out there, and I wanted to spend just, you know, 5 minutes at least talking about those opportunities. There are even chatbots and things that you can talk to that can sometimes just give you something to talk to and get your feelings out. So that's out there, and I wanted to at least mention it. I don't think it replaces, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, but I do think it can be an outlet if you're not willing to go to those things, those people. And then automation. This really goes beyond what I wanted to do with the class, but I want to just give you a glimpse at what this can do. There are automation tools like Zapier is kind of the leader, and we use that a lot at House to House. This allows us to do things like invoicing or email generation and be able to get through a lot of tasks really quickly that are repetitive types of tasks. And you can stack different types of programs, different apps in Zapier, and get it to do things. There's all sorts of neat applications, including take the video of your sermon and with AI analyze it and find 20-second clips to post as shorts on Facebook or YouTube or TikTok. All sorts of things of that nature that can be done using Zapier and using some of the other tools that are available to do automation with that. And MailChimp now, which is one of the email programs for email marketing and chat marketing, you can use their AI tools to help you generate more effective workflows for that. So when somebody contacts you, it can give them a generated response based on keywords in their question, and it's pretty good. It's pretty amazing. It allows you to get a lot more done, communicate with the church as a whole better, more effectively, faster. And then just to throw out a few ideas that I knew I wouldn't have time to develop, but just to give you an idea of some of the things that even just ChatGPT can do. It'll help you with idea generation. If you ever are where you're like, you know, I don't know what to preach next Sunday, it can say, hey, can you suggest some things for me to preach? And it'll give you some sermon title ideas. It can even do it much more customized than that. You can say, here are the topics I preached for the past 52 weeks. Can you analyze this and tell me some areas that I haven't preached on that would be good to preach to a congregation? and it'll give you 10 ideas. And if you don't like any of them, you say, give me 10 more. And if you don't like any of those, say, give me 10 more. And it'll just keep spitting out ideas for you until something looks good to you. Making worksheets for Bible classes, making coloring sheets for Bible classes. That program Midjourney that I showed you, it does coloring sheets amazingly quickly. And they're really good, so I recommend that. It's really hard to find good coloring sheets online. This will do them very nicely, very quickly. Watch for the number of fingers, and that's about it. And then the applications, brainstorming. You could say, I'm really struggling with this, whatever it is, whatever problem you're having. Can you suggest some ways that I can solve this problem for my congregation, whatever it is? And it will do that. I'm not saying they're all perfect ideas, but it might give you the spark that you need to solve that problem. So my contact information is up on the screen. If you need any more information, anything that I didn't cover, you think some things I said were wrong, whatever it is you'd like to say, please reach out to me, text or email. Be happy to talk to you more about it. And I love to learn ways to be more efficient and productive. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time.